You are listening to the weekly message from Mount Helena Community Church. Celebration services are every Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Gateway Center. Or join us live online at www.mounthelena.cc.
All right, well, we're going to get into some things this morning. Understanding prophetic times and seasons. And if you're with us the last few nights, we're really in an interesting time in the kingdom, in the church, in the world. And we need God's insight. I love these songs this morning. Thank you, Jenny, for leading us. And some of the words and some of the cry of our heart. God, I need to know who you are. And the only way we really know him is through his word. That's for now. And the Holy Spirit and how he enlightens us. I want you to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We'll start there. A very familiar verse. Many of you might know it from memory or maybe a song or two. But we're going to break some things down in this chapter. Solomon, who they say wrote Ecclesiastes, wrote the book of Proverbs, a wise man, said, for everything, say everything. Everything. That's all inclusive, everything. There is a season and a time to every purpose, say every purpose. So we got these really big words like everything and every purpose under. It's all under something. Something is over. When there's an under, there has to be an over. Everything is under heaven. We are being directed from another realm. There's a greater presence and a greater entity to this mortal life. And aren't you glad? Otherwise, let's just give up and go home right now. Thank God there is a God. Thank God there is a heaven. Thank God there is eternity. Thank God there's something bigger than what we see. And so Solomon says, look, to everything there's a season, and there is a time to every purpose under heaven. God ordains the times and seasons. He's in charge. He's not making it up as he goes. He's not sitting there watching going, that's a surprise. God is completely in charge, and he wants us to understand this. He wants us to understand. In fact, I think it's more a requirement in these days. We are required to know the times and the seasons of God. In Matthew and one of the other Gospels, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. Matthew 16, he rebuked them because they did not know the times and seasons. He said, look, you can look at the sky and you can predict the weather. They didn't have weather apps back then. They didn't click. But they could look at the sky and they could predict the weather for the next day. He says, you can do that, but you don't know the signs of the times. He rebuked them. In other words, you should know. We need to know because the church cannot continue the way it's been, because we have to keep changing to keep up with God. Requirement is a big word. What does God require? So to help us understand that, go to Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 7, or we have it on the screen. One verse from the prophet Jeremiah to help us understand the requirements of the times. What do we need to know now? So Jeremiah uses an analogy of the birds, okay? Who interestingly wrote that song, To Everything. Turn, turn, turn. So we're going to go to the birds. You right? How many are old? I don't know what he's talking about. That's because you're too young. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 7 says, even the stork in the heavens knows her times, and the turtle dove, and the swallow, and the crane. They keep the time of their coming. A better translation would really be, they know the time of their migration. How many know birds migrate? It's in their nature. They know how to migrate. God coded them. Internally, he put it in them to know to migrate. But, he says, my people, now he's comparing us to birds, is that all right? Jeremiah the prophet is saying, birds can do this, but my people can't. My people, he says, they do not know the rules or the requirements of the Lord. It's a little bit of a rebuke. My people don't even know when God's moving, when God's shifting seasons. Birds migrate. Migration is an appointed time in the life of a bird, okay? It says, the birds know the time of their migration. My people don't know the rules. Interesting Hebrew word there, mishpat is the word in the Hebrew, and it really means not only just the requirements, it's a legislative term that is used as a judgment, a legal sentencing handed down from a high authority. That's our God. A divine law. My people don't know what God is legislating from heaven. You know, God doesn't just make things up and give suggestions. He is God. He rules from a throne. It's not a chair. It's a throne, and he rules. And all these things come down from heaven, are under heaven, and sometimes we don't really know what God is legislating. We don't know what God is saying. Hey, church, you can't continue the way you are. We must migrate. We got to be like the birds, for crying out loud. They know when to do it. They don't have to go to a bird convention. They don't need a bird prophet. They don't need a bird. Well, they might tweet every now and then, but they don't need an app on their phone. Hey, guys, what? Time to go meet you in the parking lot. God is legislating changes of season. And the church, we need to know. We need to be aware. Because the times require relevant action. When God's moving, we must respond. So crisis, which we've been talking about the last couple nights, crisis is a very clear indication that, very much, times are changing. In the spirit world first. We don't pick it up in the newspaper. We read all the world's perspective, but crisis is an indicator in the spirit world, too, that God is doing something. See, that's what we've been kind of harping on the last few nights. God is doing this. God is in charge. God is legislating. God is creating his own plan for his own purposes, for his own glory. And you know what? We have to willingly embrace migration. Not as birds, as God's people. Migration, the word migrate in the Hebrew, the root word is the same root word for the word sheep. Isn't that wonderful? How many know we're sheep? We're a little dumb, and we need leadership. We need a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd don't do very well. So by nature then, our nature, our spiritual nature as the sheep of his hand is we must migrate. When God says move, we move. When the shepherd says change fields, we change. Staying, birds know this, if you stay in an old season too long, you will die. They know. Sometimes they get an early departure in Montana. It's like, normally in October, we're still here, but not this year or whenever. They know if we stay in Montana through December, we're going to die. They got to go. Same with the church. If we stay in an old season too long, we could die. If you stay in an old message too long, you can die. Ouch. Brian will explain that next week when he brings his old message. I'm kidding. No, he's going to bring the heat. He's going to help you migrate. That's what we do. That's what Fivefold Ministry does. We equip you to hear from God and to move with God. Don't just come and listen for a message. Come ready to move. You want to touch God? Right there, go, oh, God, I want to touch you. I just need to know where. You want to touch God? You better be ready to move. God is a mover. God loves his people to move. He loves to go. Two-thirds of his name is go. Anyway. But migration can be uncomfortable. It's not always convenient. Maybe you don't plan for it. You might lose some friends when you migrate. But you apply migration to everything in your life. Macro, micro, everything. I need to move. Everybody has to come to the conclusion. I need to move into the next season of my life. I can't avoid it. I can't pray it away because Solomon said, to everything there is a season and there is a time for every purpose under heaven. So let's look at these real quick. He's got 28 different seasons, verse 2 through 8. 28 different seasons that you and I as humans will go through at some point, and everybody in this room is in one of those seasons. So look at him real quick just to kind of just pull this in for just a minute. So he starts in verse 2. He says, so, okay, let's discuss these and watch. Everything is a time, 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 a time. Everything's talking about time. So there is a time to be born and a time to die. Any questions on that one? How are we doing so far? Pretty inclusive again. To everything. So everything. So there's a time to be born, time to die. Done. Next. Time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal. Watch the extremity in one verse. The extremities. Time to kill, time to heal, time to break down, time to build up, time to weep, time to laugh, time to mourn and dance at the same, all in one verse. He's just going very wide and broad as humanity comes to grip with all these different seasons. You kind of go, whoa, time to cast away stones, but a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, a time to lose, time to keep, a time to cast away. You're thinking, I don't know if I like this list. Some of you are already making a list of your list. And you're going, well, I like that one, I like that one. I'm not going to sign up for that one. And we make a little column, you know, and here's all my favorite seasons, here's the ones I don't like. You can't do that because the object of your season is what determines what's going to come to pass in that season. So you're saying, I don't like a season, I don't like a time to lose. Thank you very much. I don't want that one. Unless you're on a diet. I just want to have a time to gain. Not when you're on a diet. I want money. I need money. I need a time to gain. See, it's the object and the season and what's going on that God orchestrates. Whether you're embracing or seeking or losing or tearing or sowing, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, time to love, time to hate in one verse. What? How do I emotionally do that? You'd be surprised. And a time for war and ultimately a time for peace. Eternity will be a time for peace. That's how it ends. It starts with a time to be born and it ends with a time for peace. All inclusive, everything. So because God's legislating all these changes, we have to be aware of the season that we're in, and we have to be aware that we're going to eventually move into another season. You can't stay in the season that you're in forever. That's good news. And we have to move into new places of declaration. Guess what? As we move into a new season, the frequency of our proclamation must change. Has to. Look at the way technology has changed, even the way that we communicate, the way we proclaim. We now proclaim invisibly on the internet, social media. It's a frequency of proclamation that we never thought we'd be in 30 years ago, but we are now. Brian and Margaret started pastoring here 150 years ago. They never thought about social media. It wasn't a tool then. It wasn't available. But now it is. It's a frequency that we must all migrate into. We migrate into these new technologies, right? And some of us that are a little older, we're just immigrants. We had to migrate. We all have an accent. We speak with an accent. We're not natives. We didn't grow up with technology like our kids do. They're all natives. They know how to do it. They have no accent. They just peer. So we have to move. And lack of awareness, if you're not aware of this, and you're not aware of the movement of spiritual seasons, you're actually violating divine systems that God is putting in the earth, and you don't even know. You've got to be aware. We have to be aware of what God is doing. So he says, my people, Jeremiah, but my people, they don't know the requirements of God. Really? Ouch, God. Okay, what do we do then? Since it's your expectation that we know something, he says, I want you to know, and then I want you to respond. Do you know that all knowledge requires a response from God? If God gives you knowledge, he also expects you to respond to him. That's why you can't come to church and just sit and listen to a message. It's not about listening to a message. It's about doing something when the message now penetrates you and activates you, and God says, now what are you going to do? Now do something. And you say, well, what's the nature of my response? I don't know. I can't tell you. Prophets can't tell you. They can't tell you what the nature of your response is. You have to get that from God. So you don't leave church and say, there, I'm done with God until next Sunday. You say, now I start a new level. I go to a new place in God. I now must find out what I must do. I have to hear it from God. That's why we have to be prophetic. Everybody. Everybody has to be prophetic because all knowledge has to be met with God. What do? I have to hear it from God in here. You can't have pastors and preachers just constantly harping, this is what you need to do, you need to do, you need to do. You have to go, I need to go to South Africa. I need to go on a missions trip. I need to reach my community. I need to work with kids back here. I need to do that. It's a response that comes from your heart. God's voice, when he does speak, understand this, it carries within the voice of God, carries the power of execution. You have to understand that. That's why you don't listen for a message. God's voice carries resource. It's in his voice. Oh my gosh. When God talks, it opens something. He opens architecture. He opens vistas. He opens something up. And when God talks, it's not English. You know, when God opens his mouth, English doesn't come out. Hebrew, Greek, Chinese, it's not language yet. When God opens his mouth, it's full of resource. It's full of energy, power. God opens his mouth and power comes out. It's not language yet until it pulsates down toward humanity, and then something happens when we pick up the pulsation first. It's a like, I feel, I think, I sense. That's why we grope for words. What's God saying? Well, I'm trying to get language. Even prophets prophesy. Oh, well, we sense this, I felt this, I think, I sense. We're trying to let, what we do is the pulsation comes to us in energy form, and then we wrap language around it and deliver it into a human. This is what the Lord says. It's our saying that delivers energy. So when his voice hits you, there's power to execute. God just doesn't give you a suggestion. God just doesn't give you a command. They say, God, it's impossible. I don't know how to, I can't. I stop and receive knowledge, wisdom, and power. That's the whole thing about the coming of the Holy Spirit. He knew we needed help. He knew we couldn't do it on our own. And Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will do something. You will be my witnesses. This is this whole thing working through the voice of God. God talks in divine energy, not human language. And that energy never ends as long as you walk in obedience. I knew it'd get quiet on that one. You had to say it. Yeah, I did, because see, when God speaks, there's a Hebrew word, the Shema. It means hear, and was used many times by the prophets. Hear, O Israel! Hear, O Israel! Here, you understand, it's the same word for obey. The same word in the Hebrew. Hear and obey is one concept in the Hebrew mind. In other words, God says, when I speak, I expect you to obey. Any parents in the room? That's what I thought. Does that work at home, folks? Yeah. There's a little expectation. Go clean your room. Thank you for the word, Dad. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for my word. I heard it. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to go to my room and worship right now. I'm going to worship your presence, worship your word. I'm going to go do a Bible study on my room. I'm going to invite my friends over, and we're going to just fellowship and worship. And oh my gosh, thank you for that word. It was a good message. Heard a really good message this morning. Clean your room. Hear and obey, Israel. That's what God was always saying. Hear and obey. That's what God says. Know and respond to me in time. Now, here's the little trick, the timing. This is the human predicament. A time to this, a time to that, a time to that, a time to that. What are you talking about? Time, let me explain from the Greek first. It has two words in the Greek. One is chronos. And one is kairos. Chronos time is simply your watch, the clock. Chronos time, start to finish, measurable, seconds, months, weeks, years, unrelenting, devoid of ethics. It's devoid of morality. It is empty of purpose. It cannot be stopped. You can't speed it up. You can't slow it down. Wouldn't that be nice? We're going on vacation. Let's slow this down. Time to go to work. Let's speed this thing up. I'm going to get this day over with. You know, you can't do that. It's not subject to human activity. It's not subject to anything that originates in the earth. There's a time for everything. God subjects this thing. But there's kairos time. Kairos time is a now time, an appointed time, a set time in the mind of God that he's already planned on his calendar. It's already in his calendar. And he doesn't clue us in all the time. What his appointed time is going to do to us and bring. It's a supreme moment from a supreme mind. It comes to us. In the fullness of Kairos, God sent his son. How many know God had the entrance of Christ into planet Earth on his calendar long before there were calendars? He knew. Perfect time. Roman Empire, certain language, all these things came. God said, perfect time. Kairos moment. That would be the synonym for the Hebrew word for to everything there's a season and a time, which is the Hebrew word eth. A little shorter. A time, an eth, an appointed time for every purpose. Every purpose that God has in his mind and heart for every human and every historical movement, there is a now time. There's a time for that. time for every purpose. A time for a season to start, and there's a time for a season to end. And time is always impregnated with God's divine purpose. And guess what? We have to discern it, and then we have to execute it. That's our portion. That's our job. So what is success then? How do I get through all these seasons? What is success when I'm going through a time to heal, when I'm going through a time to mourn, when I'm going through these seasons that I don't think I like so much? What do I do? Here it is. Very simple. As a Christian, as a believer, as God's followers, as his children, what is success for us? Here's success. It's an accurate, prophetic march through the season. You just get through it. See? We measure it so differently. Success for the Christian is an accurate, prophetic march through every season. They're the seasons of God. Remember, it's all under heaven. Every one of these, you can say, this is a season of God, not just a season of my human predicament. That if we really are sovereignists and believe that everything is under heaven, then this is God's season for me. And I can't figure it out at the moment. I'm going to explain them. What I have to do, though, is grab hold of God's hand and keep marching. Season. That is success, friends. That is true success. How'd you do it? I got through it with God. How did you manage? God. We play the God card always. How did you? God. I don't know how you. God. See, other humans look at us and go, how did you get through a time to lose? How did you really get through it? It was God. And we start magnifying him in these things. And what we're saying is, there was a divine pulsation that came from heaven that I didn't deserve, but it came to me anyway. And you know what? In that pulsation, there was divine energy and there was a divine capacity that I never had on my own. Oh no, I couldn't have done it without God. And you hear people say that, but it's true. And we walk out the season, and guess what? When you walk out the season, when you just march through the season, you always come up higher. You end up higher than when you went into the season. Because everything we do in God is what the Bible calls an upward call in Christ. Paul says, I press toward the target, the mark, for the upward call. Everything takes you up. Everything. Even a time to lose, a time to mourn, a time, the bad stuff, it takes you up in some way. God sees to it that he will take you up towards Christ. So to everything, there's a season. Let's define a season then. What's a season then? It's not winter, spring, summer, and fall. It is, you want bad news or good news? Are you bad news first, good news people? Or are you good news, then, you know, lift me up, then drop me? Let's do bad news. Bad news first is, see, a season is an undetermined amount of time. That's the bad news. You don't know. You don't know how long it's going to last. Here's the good news. It's always of a limited duration. There always will be an end. You look at that list. He didn't say, okay, to everything there's a season. There's only one and it goes on forever. No, there's all these different 28 seasons that we go through, and it is undetermined how long it will be, but it will end. That's the good news. It will end, but we have to understand God is doing something in us. A prophetic challenge comes to us that is beyond you, beyond your natural ability. That's why he doesn't warn you. Most of the time, he thrusts you into it with no warning. You don't get a text, an email, nothing. It just comes. Change of seasons. A prophetic time, knowing prophetic times and seasons, a prophetic time, similar, undetermined period, but of limited duration also, in which God then says, in this time, I'm going to work out a phase of my purpose in you. Why I put you on the planet, why I formed you, made you, and put you in Helena or wherever you are. This is what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. I'm working out purpose. Purpose! He said, what's your purpose, God, in all this? Don't you ever wonder, like, God, what is the purpose of all this? And it's a very simple analogy when you look at the word purpose. It's actually a more of an action word. The Hebrew language is very amazing because it's more pictorial and action-oriented than it is just narrative. And so the word for purpose here in the Hebrew literally means to bend or curve. Isn't that interesting? God, what is the purpose of this? To bend you into shape? I'm trying to get you more Christ-like. You bonehead. I'm trying to, you know, we're walking around like, how you doing? Fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. Really? And God says, change the seasons. He's leaning again. And all this pressure comes, and all of a sudden pressure. Ow! Oh, the pressure. Oh, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? I'm putting pressure on you because you're bending. You're in the wrong direction. You're kind of fractured. I need to straighten you up. Remember the word the other night? What do we do when crisis comes? Straighten up. Lift up your heads. Your redemption is drawing nigh. The church has to straighten up. Well, how's God going to straighten up the church? Pressure. Say thank you very much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the pressure. A loving, gentle pressure to bend. Bend us, curve us back into Christ-like shape, to contain what God... Because otherwise, we're not in shape to receive what God has. A lot of people want, I want a prophecy. You're not in shape. There's no, you're a crooked container. I can't pour it in. You got to let God change something. And then sometimes you get a prophecy and it makes no sense because it will not be fulfilled in the season you're currently receiving it. It's going to take a change of seasons. And then suddenly it's go, aha, that's what he meant. And that's what we get from the rest of this little passage in Ecclesiastes. Just three or four verses here. Let's just finish this on what then is God a purpose? What is the purpose of these seasons? So Solomon says in verse 9 and 10, he starts out saying, well, what gain has the worker from his toil then? He just lists these 28 seasons, then he goes, so what gain has the worker from his toil? I've seen the task. Oh, I've seen, another translation says, I've seen the travail, which is a prayer word. I've seen the travail which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. What is the work that God gives us to occupy on planet Earth? It's spiritual work. Yeah, we do the stuff. We go to work. We get married. We have kids. We build. We do the stuff. But Solomon, in his wisdom, who was a great builder. Oh, man, was he a builder. He built some of the greatest edifices. He says, you know what? I have seen the travail that God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. And it's always spiritual. What does that mean? What happens? The first thing that comes to us when God changes a season and unexpectedly something changes, what do? We pray. We cry out to God and go, God, what's going on? Or the Amplified Version says, God! That's the Amplified Version. Actually, that's a good prayer. That's a good way to start. That is a prayer. Why? It presses us to pray, to travail. That's work. To birth. See, travail was a birthing term. When Zion travailed, she brought forth, the prophet Isaiah said. It's a birthing term. And how many know, ladies, help us out here. There's pressure. Oh, there's pressure. There's pressure in birth. The other night we talked about this is the beginning of birth pains. It's pressure. It's labor. It's spiritual work. It's toil. I have seen the work and the task that God has given. Our number one task is to pray and say, God, what's up? God, what is going on? This season just changed. What's going on? He says, I'm glad I have your attention. Finally, God changes the season. You go, I wasn't expecting that. You ask all your friends. You ask your neighbors. You have everybody goes, and then they'll go, God. So I guess I'll go to God. Yes, that's what he wants. Why? I'm going to bring forth new purpose in your life. That's the message from heaven. God, what is going on? New purpose. More bending. I'm just going to bend you a little more, son. You need a little more bending here into my Christ-like goal. Verse 11, Solomon says, you know, here's the deal. In the midst of all this, which is amazing, the next verse, he has made everything, there's the everything word again, he has made everything beautiful in its eth. In its time. In the appointed time, it becomes a work of God's beauty. God's beauty. It's not cosmetics. This beautiful word is not exterior. It's not your hairstyle, your makeup, your clothes, your wardrobe. It's not that beauty. It's not outward appearance. It says God has made everything beautiful in its time. What kind of beauty comes from God? He makes something beautiful. You know what that means? Full of Christ. It's the most beautiful thing, by the way. the most beautiful object of the Godhead was the Son. You think the Father's beautiful, but he says, oh, you haven't seen my Son yet, have you? Come on, parents. Well, oh, let me show you. Then grandparents, we go berserk. Anyway, you see my grandkids. No, see, the Son portrays the Father. He is the portrait. He is the image. And so this is beautiful, which means it's full of resource. God has made everything full of resource in its time. In that F, God downloads resource to you that you never had before. Never. You never needed it before. You need it now. And guess what? You don't just keep it for you. Then you pass it on to someone else that needs it in the future. He makes you full of resource. You're a resource for somebody else. Do you know that? You're sitting here today, and whatever season you're in, God is downloading from heaven pulsations of resource to you. You better be aware of it. You need to know the times and the seasons. What season am I in, and what is the divine resource coming to me that I didn't have before? I didn't even know I needed it before. And now I'm in this season, and what is going on? And God's going, come on, come on, come on. Keep praying, keep asking, because I'm going to load you with resource for somebody else. You'll get through. You'll march through. Get through. Just get through. And you come out loaded with resources that you never had before. And that's beautiful. That's Bible beautiful. And then he says also, he has put eternity into man's heart. Really? I thought it was already there. Well, you'd be surprised how earthly and carnal and limited we can be. And so he says, I'm putting more eternity into your heart in this season. What does that mean? I'm expanding your understanding of what it really means to be compassionate. I'm expanding your heart for the hurting and the lost. That's why people go on a mission trip that never thought they'd ever go on a mission trip. That 10 years ago, mission trip. And then suddenly they're melting up here when we're praying over them and crying. Why? God's putting eternity in their heart for other people. He's expanding their mission within. He's filling them with compassion, and God does that. He puts eternity in our hearts. And then he says, here's the hard part, the rest of verse 11. Then he says this crazy statement. Yet, he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. You can't. You can't. You want to, but you can't. That's the hard part for a human. That's the hard part for an American. I want to know. I have a right to know. I have the internet. I need to know the beginning. When's the start? When's the finish? What time are we going to be done? We want to know, and yet we can't know. God says, you can't. Why? You'd ruin it. You'd mess it up. God says, you'd mess it up. If I told you what you really want to know, you'd mess it up. He doesn't tell you. You'll never fully discern the purpose while you're in it. You don't really know what God is up to in the season he shifts you into while you're in the season. That's just incredible to our human minds and our limitless thoughts of God when he says, but God, you know everything. How come I can't? Because he said your mind would explode. He's kind. He's merciful. He doesn't tell you stuff. You'd freak out. You'd crawl into a little hole and hibernate until Jesus comes. We need you. We need you out there. So he doesn't tell you. He says, yet you cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end, but when the season's over, you kind of go, ah, that's what he was doing. That's why I have no hair up here. I'm always like, ah, I get it now. It's like, ah, now I see it, but I didn't know at the time, but now I see it. And then in verse 14, Solomon gives us a few more tips to understand. He says, now I perceived, what a great prophetic word, I perceived. See, that's why we have to know. And it's not natural knowledge, it's perception from the Holy One himself. I perceived, Solomon says, now that whatever God does endures forever. When God does it, his fingerprint never comes off it. It's his and his alone. He takes full credit for it. I perceive whatever God does in all these crazy seasons is eternal. You get to take it to heaven with you. Do you understand? What God's doing now in planet Earth, in your humanity and mortality, you take all that work, you take all that shaping and bending, you take it into eternity. God wastes nothing. Nothing. His seasons are for eternal purposes. And those seasons refocus us when we just get a little too earthly, carnal-minded, and focus just on life and all we're doing now, and we forget there is a God. We forget there's an eternity coming. We forget. And so we must be reminded, and we must be refocused. And God says, this is what I do. This is my specialty. I help you understand what's going on now is eternal. And therefore, the next part, which is tough again, you can't add it. Can't add anything to it. You can't take anything away. As much as we think we have the power to edit God, you can't. It's illegal. You can't change or alter what God is doing while you're in the season. You can't. You can't add anything to it, and you can't take anything away. God, stop this thing. He goes, I'm almost done. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. Really? How many times have you prayed and said, God, please stop. Stop it. Make somebody stop. And you know, he never mentions the devil. Solomon never mentions the devil. This is really important. God, make this stop. Make it go away. How long, God? How long? How many times do we ask that? Our second son, we have three boys and the rest are girls. One girl. She's been to Helena quite a bit. Our second son's been going through a real physical trial for the last 3.5 years. He got mononucleosis, and then it turned into these strains of viruses, and it wore him down, tore him down. He has very little energy every day. It's been bad. He's been to Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic. If it's a clinic, he's been there, okay? He's been all over the United States, doctors in California, been all over, getting all kinds of treatments, gone gluten-free. So don't give me any suggestions after the meeting, please. I've had more suggestions than I know what to do with. So everybody has good intentions. It's like, we've tried. They've tried everything. They've thrown lots of money at it and everything. And they're just, it comes down to the grace of God is carrying this guy. And let me tell you something. In the last couple of years, our family, our prayer life has been incredible. And though we're scattered in different states, the prayers we're regularly praying, and now it comes just a text. When James said, have a rough day, pray. Boom, we all pray. We're on it. We're responding. Boom, boom, boom. We're rallying in prayer. See, God's causing us to birth something. Something's being birthed in him. At the same time, massive changes in him. We've had conversations, and we homeschooled our kids at certain periods where we had a lot of spiritual input, but the stuff that's happening now is I can't even describe the intensity and the density of our spiritual conversations. They are incredible. I'm learning from him. He's teaching me. Dad, what? He's driving back from Miami. One of his treatments, he has to go to Miami every week for a treatment. He lives on the west side of Florida. He's driving back and he calls me. Dad, yeah, I'm driving back. Dad, I saw it. Saw what? I saw it. What did you see? An alligator? I mean, alligator alley? How many alligators did you see? And I said, I saw it. What did you see? I saw the kingdom. I'm like, see the kingdom like that. He goes, I saw the kingdom. I realize now it's not about, and God, here's the oxymoron of the whole thing, or what we call the paradox, which the Bible's full of. God is blessing his socks off financially. He started over 10 businesses, and he just keeps starting them in his weakness. And he finally got there. He goes, Dad, it's not about finances or materialism. It's about the kingdom. We have to advance the kingdom. I'm going, tell me more. We had this amazing conversation that God was downloading to him in his weakness, his predicament. He's saying, I saw it. I saw the kingdom. I saw the mission. And I'm driven. He goes, that's my purpose. And then he has this great little phrase. He goes, and if I can do all this on 20% energy, the devil's going to pay when I get healthy. I love that thinking. What a mature way to look at his weakness and his sickness. He's going, when I get fully healed, and you know what? We pray every day. Don't get me wrong. I believe God heals. Do you? Yeah. Our God heals. You know what the problem is? Time. When are you going to heal him? God says, when I'm done creating purpose in him, which is far more beautiful. Hello? Beautiful? Beautiful. You know, even he said, my marriage is more beautiful. His marriage. He's only been married. He's married 5 years. Next month. He said, my wife's incredible. I can't believe the things my wife has been and how she's managed. And they just had their little first baby, just turned one. And you see, the stuff they've gone through, and he's just going, it's incredible. I love my wife more. She's amazing. And so God is shaping and curving his view of marriage and sacrifice. All this stuff you can't get in the book. He's like, here, read about sacrifice. Read about suffering. Just read about it. Read about it. You'll get it. No, you won't. You won't get it until you go through it and you march through it and you come out full of resource for somebody else. You can do it. Why? I did it. I went through this for this. Do you understand? There's suffering and hurting everywhere, fracturedness, brokenness. We are a broken people, depraved. Sin has corrupted, and people need an answer from the Bible, from your God and your relationship with Him, in whatever season you've been through. There's an answer in there for somebody else. We are a giving nation. The kingdom is a giving organization, right? The church, we're givers because God is a giver. You can't add to it. You can't take anything from it. How much, my wife and I would love to say, God, stop now. Just stop the hurt. How many times you say, God, stop. Can you just stop it? And how many times have people thrown that in your face? You're God. How come He lets this happen? How come He lets this? And they throw it in our face, right? If He's a loving God, then why this, why this, why this, why this, whatever. Why not what I think an ideal God would be? Because He's not ideal. There is no ideal God. There's the God of this book. That's it. He is Jehovah. He is beyond our mental understanding. That's why He gives us all these clues, 28 different seasons, to help us grasp His intensity and magnificent. It's like, oh, I can't. We run out of words. We run out of words because you can't add to it, you can't take away. And here's the clincher of verse 14. Solomon says, when you put all this together, you got to understand, God has done it. That's what he says. God has done it, Solomon says. Not the devil. The devil's not mentioned. God has done it. Period. Why, God? Oh, you want to know why? So that people, not the birds now, so the people will what? Fear before Him. Before Him. Not, I'm scared. Not what we sang, I'm no longer a slave. We're not a slave to the fear of man or the fear of circumstances. Now we have one focused fear, a healthy, dynamic, divine fear of the Lord. If we look at what's happening in our world, we look at what's happening at the end of this book in Revelation, and we kind of grab hold of what God was talking to us about the last couple of nights, we realize, I must walk in the fear of the Lord. Do you know how you replace fear? With a greater fear. I don't like snakes. How about that bear? Ah! Come here, little snake. Come here, come here, come here. You know, it's like, I was afraid of snakes until I met the bear, right? So you replace it with a greater fear. And there's only one fear that is good. The fear of the Lord. Because think about it. When you suddenly are snapped with no warning into a new season, boom, I didn't expect this season. And you suddenly don't know what to do and you go, ah, God, what's the thing you need from God? Not just an answer. What we need is wisdom, right? What do you need when you enter a new season of life? You need wisdom. God's wisdom. God, how do I navigate? God, how do I march through this? God, what are you giving me? Question, question, question. We need God's wisdom. And Proverbs is so clear that Solomon wrote, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, he said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it begins. God has done it, Solomon said. Why? The people will go to him in awe. Say, God, God, I need your wisdom because I know you have it. I know you. And I'm going to respond to whatever you give me, but I need your wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wow. The knowledge of the Holy One gives us insight. This is from Solomon. Where are you at this morning? What's going to be the nature of your response to whatever season you're in? And what's the nature of your response when you get to your next season? How are you going to respond? That's all God's looking for. I don't have answers for you. I can't prophesy your answer. I don't know myself. How are you going to respond? In the fear of the Lord, because God, you're in charge. God, you're doing it all. The fear of the Lord then is the beginning of the download of wisdom that you need. And when He's done, He makes something beautiful. You're all beautiful because God's at work in you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. The most beautiful thing, object of your eye is Christ and His bride. Oh, how Jesus loves the church and gave himself for it. She is a beauty. She's getting ready. She's almost ready to walk down the aisle, and heaven's standing at attention, and heaven's on the edge of their seats, and they're waiting, and Jesus is like, now, Father, now? Now, he goes, almost. It's getting closer. The bride is getting ready, and it is beautiful. We are beautiful to him because of what he takes us through. He takes us through the season. We come out beautiful, more bride-like, more attractive to the eye of God, where his son just says, I'm ready, God. Father, I'm ready to get her. You hear that from the Spirit? What are we getting ready for? The most amazing uniting of a bride and a bridegroom for eternity. We are the object of his affection. The bride of Christ, prepared in every season, the good, the bad, the ugly, it's all God preparing his bride for eternal beauty that never grows old, never needs makeup. We don't age, we don't get wrinkles. We're going to be beautiful, spotless, wrinkleless bride in eternal beauty. Are you ready for that? You want that? Give your life for it? Would you give your life for it? You're here today and you don't know him. You're here today and you say, who is this God? Who is this Jesus? You're here today and you're just spectating. I don't know who you are. Maybe you're here just watching. There's going to be prayer teams up here later. There's going to be people on both sides of the stage, and they love to pray for people. And you may need prayer this morning and say, I need to know more of this God. I need to know him. I want to know him. This is a mystery, but now it's like, wow, something's grabbing my attention. If that's you, come for prayer. Come and receive the greatest prize, eternal life, through the death and the burial and the resurrection of the beautiful one, Jesus Christ. He's here today. He's talking to you. He wants to open heaven to you, and all you got to do is receive. All you got to, it's a beautiful gift. This is the most beautiful thing. It's here today for you. You know who you are. God's talking to you right now. So afterwards, we're not going to make a scene. Just come up, slip up here and say, I need prayer. And God will make something beautiful.
For more information, visit our website at www.mounthelena.cc. Download our mobile app, available in iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook.